You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
TKF United.
Hello, and thanks for listening to TKF United, Stadium Talk That Rocks. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined today by Travis Russell.
Hey, hey.
Go Civica. Go,
yeah, yeah. Go Some Prop or whatever they're called. Yeah. Yes.
We're also joined by DK Aniwo from SD Chronicle, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's where I came from.
Hey, cool. And we're also joined by Ry Rivard. He's a reporter for the Voice of San Diego.
What's up, guys?
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So PolitiFest happened this weekend. What was the big takeaway from the Soccer City versus SDSU West debate?
Everyone is going to, I think, vote for nothing to happen. That was the big takeaway.
Because he won the panel.
Oh no. So it was Soccer City versus SDSU West versus the third option of neither, right? Yeah. And in the debate itself, I thought that it was Howard Blackson, I believe his name was. He won the room, so to speak. But I don't know. It was a circus in there, man. It was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ry, we brought you on to talk about river parks.
we can also talk about some SDSU financing if we want.
Sure, yeah, but it's all connected, right?
I didn't think that existed, but sure, let's talk about it.
So we've had a discussion throughout this whole process about either plan, and the thing that keeps coming up is the river park and whether or not each plan can make it happen or not, or if they even want to. Yeah. You wrote a piece a couple weeks ago about it. Which one do you think is the most possible to happen?
So it's interesting. So this is one of the feel-good things that doesn't involve sports, right? Because there's some people in the city, as hard as it would be for the listeners of this to believe, that don't care about sports. And so the river, right, shock is stuck. And hey. So the river park is like this thing to, I think, make people feel good. And it's going to be...
It's bait, right?
I think it's bait. And the question is, how much of a switch might it be?
right.
And in the Soccer City plan, they would do, a couple dozen acres of river park. And they say they would pay $20 to $40 million, depending on certain conditions that we can get into, to build it, make it look nice. There'd be ball fields. There'd be some sort of like marshland pond area. There'd be walking trails. And then SDSU has a sort of similar plan, except in their plan, in Soccer City's plan, they take control of the land. Mm-hmm. In SDSU's plan, the land stays with the city, and then SDSU, which is, of course, a state entity, would then build a river park on what would remain city land. Mm-hmm. And those are sort of the key legal differences. The sort of structural difference, if you will, of what the park would look like is SDSU's architect, Carrier Johnson, is adamantly against a pond. They do not want a pond on the river park. They say it would be unnatural. They don't want a fountain there. Soccer City is more amenable to a pond. And there would be like a different slope.
I believe they said they'd rather have no pond or no fountain.
Yeah.
Than one with no water or something.
Yeah, he said I'd rather have a no fountain than a dry fountain, and no pond than an empty pond.
Yeah, fascinating.
Wow, I've always been a big proponent of just making a lake there, and doing a sky rise, and making San Diego also have like a water ski mecca. That's what I would do with it. So I'm interested. Find it curious that there's no pond in the plan.
In 2 years, you can pitch it, probably.
I mean, you have the water right there. You got to make a pond, right?
Yeah. I would hope so, or at least do like a ski of some kind.
Well, so the amount of regulatory headache to like get in this buffer zone around the river channel, like there's a river there, whether you see it or not.
Oh yes, going to a Charger game back in the day, we'd park across at that brick building, Kahala Travel, and I tried to jump it once to impress a girl and slipped and
face planted.
Backwards. Oof. So I went to the game with the river all over me, smelling like that river smells, and it's not good.
It's full of bacteria.
Yes.
Yeah, you said something about the SDSU plan that like it would be up to the city to develop it if the plan goes forward, or it would be under the city's control. Is that
the land would remain with the city? So mm-hmm. in the SDSU plan, they don't actually buy the sort of 35 acres of river park land. They don't take control of it from the city. The city retains it, and then SDSU gets sort of the land around. Right. Around the river.
But yeah, I seem to remember reading, I actually was able to read the 13 pages of the SDSU thing, and I think the wording is something along the lines of direct the city to build it, but just at no cost to the general fund. And I think that's like a tongue-in-cheek type thing, because I've been told that like that type of development wouldn't come out of that funding mechanism anyway.
That is a question that the city's attorney has had, that, okay, so this, if it passes, the SDSU West plan obligates the city to do something there to turn it into a river park. SDSU says, hey, we'll do it. But there's a question, you know, what would they have to do to actually make that happen? The city would have an obligation to build a river park that, you know, worst case scenario, maybe SDSU doesn't want to put up the money for. One of the things that the SDSU fans say is, hey, the state has a bunch of money. They love building river parks. The state will come up with some money sometime somewhere. Yeah. Hmm.
Does the state like building river parks, though? Is that a thing? I don't know.
More than others, I
okay,
think.
Okay, cool.
It depends on who the next governor is, right?
I suppose.
Yeah.
But is this language in the plan that would allow them to, if they get what they want, they build the stadium first, they start working on the campus expansion, is the river park put on the back burner, or is it left open to the possibility for that?
With the university, they say they have the whole site designed around the river park. And so they have to regrade the site, sort of changing the topography artificially, and they would be pulling dirt from near where the river is. And so they say as part of grading the site, preparing the site for the new stadium, they would be doing stuff where the river, near the where the river is, and then as a result of that, they'd be building the park there.
Hmm. So the San Diego River Park Foundation is kind of a player in all this. Now they want to do like a 70-acre park.
I think they have a $70 million
plan. $70 million. Sorry.
Yeah, they have this. They've had a vision for a park there for a long time, and Soccer Cities is the one that seems to mirror it best, and that's because the River Park Foundation is, I guess, pro-pond, pro-wetland, mm-hmm. and SDSU is sort of anti-pond because it's unnatural, they say.
Are we a pro-pond podcast? I think we are.
I'm a pro-pond person, so everywhere I live, I try to have a pond.
Really?
That's what it would be called, right? Yeah, with little goldfish in it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I just, as unnatural as it is, there's something about that.
Yeah, to me, it's very natural, actually. I'm a pro-pond person.
To be honest, trees in San Diego are unnatural. So if we're going to go down that road, we should get rid of most of the trees in San Diego. Would not be here. Right? I mean, is that an incorrect statement?
So if you look at Balboa.
Chaparral would be here.
There would be lots of great chaparral.
Yes.
We're a top chaparral location. Yes. But if you look at Balboa Park, there were these redwoods in the park that have been dying because they're not supposed to be down here.
Right, right. There's a wonderful book about the woman that...
Kate Sessions.
Yes. Okay. Depending on your natural or unnatural perspective. I mean, Central Park is unnatural. I don't know. It's just, there's a... I don't know. If we're going to... Everything we do as people is unnatural. We don't need to get into this, but yeah. I'm a pro-pond person.
The River Park Foundation, they did not endorse Soccer City, right? They don't... necessarily.
They didn't. So they had talks with Soccer Cities early on, and then they chose to oppose it, and then they have so far been neutral on SDSU West.
Do you have any insight into like how that decision was made or why maybe?
On Soccer City, the River Park Foundation's point of view was that the plan does not guarantee that the river park will be built as promised. Soccer City, of course, disputes this and say we're going to do everything we promised. On the River Park Foundation's position on SDSU West, it is less clear why they took the position they did, and they have not so far explained it to me.
I saw also in your article that one of the things that Soccer City has said about the SDSU West plan is that it doesn't really account for flooding that could possibly happen in that region.
So
it naturally floods in that region.
Yeah, like
right?
Fashion Valley.
Yes. I think they both claim that they will be reducing flooding. So it's a sort of back and forth between hydrologists that I didn't really want to get into.
Fair.
See, we're going to have another podcast about the hydrolysis because that's
scintillating.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems to me, going back, not to harp on this pond thing, but if you have a pond, you could, like, control the flooding better, maybe.
Maybe. If you put a drain inside the pond, perhaps.
Yeah, a dam.
Yes.
So one of
generate power.
Hey.
One of the things the SDS-US plan has, and one of the things to keep in mind about these plans, is they're all sort of, like, feel-good plan, like,
yeah,
the rendering.
Plans.
The
yeah.
art, the artistic stuff that goes along with them is, like,
we
this
talk
is,
a lot about renderings on this podcast. It's
yeah, well, so there are these beautiful renderings,
yes.
But if you've ever seen a, you know, a render, I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in West Virginia, there was this rendering of this new art center that they were going to build, and there was, like, people within, like, tuxedos and, like,
yes.
furs inside of this art center, and I was like, this isn't how people dress in West Virginia, even when they're going out to the opera. There's no furs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's, like, a couple furs. But anyway, so what you have to keep in mind is a rendering is a rendering, and it is not reality. And so there are these sort of beautiful artistic interpretations and ideals that I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in.
Yeah. Yeah, and the renderings are always from a perspective that we'll never have as people.
Yeah, like eagle eye. You're like
yes.
flying over the thing.
We got drones, man. We got drones.
Yeah, yeah.
I have one at least.
Well, yeah, I mean, to switch gear, I mean, Nick Stone, the spokesperson basically for Soccer City, referenced it. He called them super parks. It would be like a super park, right?
Well, that's a good adjective. There
now, to switch gears to San Diego State and how they're kind of they're pitching this whole thing. It's like they want to build a bigger university, kind of like a super university. That's what, I mean, they haven't said that, but that's what it feels like. Like, they're already one of the biggest universities in the country, right? Or pretty close.
They're big.
They're not a big university. Yeah.
They're big. They're not.
But they're talking about adding like 15,000 students going into Mission Valley. I mean, is there, what examples around the country are like this, where you see a university trying to grow like this?
So I was a little foreshadowing. So I went to West Virginia University, which has two campuses that's divided by a light rail system. And it was kind of a pain to get from one campus to the other, especially, you know, when you had classes close together. But there are universities that are built like this. WVU is one of them. And then there's a number of universities that are expanding right now. Harvard has been trying to expand across the Charles River there in Boston. Drexel is another example of a university. It's in Philadelphia. It's been buying up lots of buildings downtown and sort of developing parts of downtown Philadelphia. NYU in New York is another example of a university that just owns a lot of real estate as it's been growing.
Yeah, there's really no campus.
There,
it's
yeah,
just
buildings.
I went there for a while, and yeah, it's just
there you
the
go.
City.
And you're still paying the debt.
Well, that's why I stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so SDSU wouldn't be terribly unique in trying to expand, but the size of it is quite something. I mean, they're going from 288 acres to what would be about 130, 140 new acres of land.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've sort of been scratching my head about with this whole expansion thing, and we were here a couple weeks ago when we had Fred Pierce here talking about what exactly they're going to do on that parcel in the Mission Valley area that helps them take that student number so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
They're only building, I think, like 4,600 units of housing, and only a couple hundred of those are actually designated for students only. So I'm still, I guess, at a loss for how that new property enables so much more enrollment.
It, in and of itself, it doesn't. SDSU does not have the ability to increase enrollment on its own. It needs approval from the Cal State system because the Cal State system says, hey, you can hire more faculty so you can enroll more students. SDSU can't just wake up tomorrow and be like, we're admitting 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 more students.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I think where we left off last time is that I guess SDSU has just only recently approved an expansion of like 11,000 or so students, and like that's as of today. And so they've still got like all that room to grow on their existing footprint, is my understanding.
It's I'm a little unclear on where they plan to put everybody and how fast they plan to realistically grow, because they're not getting a lot of new money from the state to hire a lot of new people.
Yeah, what I've seen is that, I guess, with this 11,000 student increase, they've basically budgeted for another 127 students on an annual basis. So every year, add another 127. So if you're looking at adding 11,000, like, that's several years at that rate. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, maybe they get more money from somewhere down the road, and that enables them to maybe bring in more on an annual basis, but that's the only way I can see.
Well, one of the discussion points, and I don't know how true it is, but they say that they're turning a lot away applicants,
mm-hmm. yeah,
qualified applicants.
Yeah, it's an impacted so, university.
Yeah, I think
it's
like, all universities yeah. turn some people away, right?
Right, yeah. right, right.
But in the CSU system, it's way, it gets skewed. More applicants.
Yeah, they're turning away tens of thousands yeah. of qualified students.
Qualified, not, right, yeah. yeah.
And they're hoping, obviously, that they can change that.
And this is totally off subject, and I don't know if we need to go down the rabbit hole, but doesn't it seems like a new university would be a better, I don't know, maybe not. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, but I mean, their pitch is that it's the biggest thing for driving the San Diego economy over the next 50 years. And but when we talked to them at the last time we did this, Fred Pierce, they basically made it very clear that the stadium would go up first and the rest of the stuff would happen later. So there is a football element to it when they were talking about it.
Yeah, I think there's a massive disconnect between the incentives and, I guess, even the urgency with respect to the student and the educational component versus the athletic and, like, the revenue-generating component. I think that's mm-hmm. what's driving this entire thing is the revenue chase. Like, they're, in my opinion, chasing revenue. I don't know if you know any. I mean, you used to report on education, right? So there's something called the University Industrial Complex that I've heard about, and you probably know a lot more about it than I do. But it seems like this project fits within that mechanism.
So one of the things I really tried to get them to talk about is how they're not going to go into debt to do this, or how they're going to cover the debt that they're going to go into. And they have contended that they have a plan that they're working on, that sort of like a secret plan to fund the stadium, and then also sort of like a secret plan to ensure that. So the first thing to know is that the first phase, as they call it, of this, once they get the land, they're going to put up what they say is going to be about a $250 million stadium, and then they're going to do about $300 million in site prep. That includes buying the land, grading the land, putting in the river park, and, you know, putting in like sewer lines and all right. that stuff. And so, you know, we're talking $550 million in today's dollars that they're going to have to cover somehow. And they've said, well, you know, we can put a bunch of stuff together, we think, to fund the stadium. And they've said, you know, if we can't get 250, there's ways to design the stadium so that it costs less. And we think that if we put in, and if we think, you're looking around with some mystery. And then they've also said, you know, I talked to one of their consultants, John Kratzer from JMI, and he said, look, we think if we put up, 2,100, couple thousand housing units, move people in there. He says we've done conservative modeling on how many people will move in there over 15 years. We've modeled in a recession. We've modeled in reasonable rents and a reasonable return for the university. We think we can cover the $300 million in site prep. So you have, I think, you know, if you take his sort of verbal conversation with me, which I think is the most detail that anybody from their side has gone into,
right.
They say a plan to cover the $300 million, and they are working on some sort of plan to cover the $250 million. But, yeah. I just haven't seen pieces of paper with all that stuff. And we've asked them for it, and so far nothing.
Yeah. After publishing that, did you hear anything about it on Twitter? I don't know. Did that
yeah, I mean, you know, Twitter is a disease. And there was actually some – I actually had some pretty healthy back and forth with some people on That's there good. And then a lot of unhealthy back and forth.
What do you think the ratio was healthy to unhealthy?
The whole thing's a bit.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, I mean, we're about a month away from the big night. You've studied elections for a while now. I mean, do you think both measures have a chance? Or?
Well, actually, I want to go back to one thing that you mentioned about do we need another university? That's a really interesting question because, you know, if you're down in Chula Vista, if you're the city of Chula Vista that has had this land, this piece of land set aside to build a university on for years, you're just jumping up and down saying, wait, you couldn't build a university here where we have the land. Why don't you put something here? And that's, I think, a fairly reasonable question.
That's a fantastic question.
And when SDSU opened a satellite campus, I think several decades ago in San Marcos, it became a full-blown university. They said, it's so successful, we're going to basically spin it off. It's going to be Cal State San Marcos.
So what was, sorry, I saw that in your piece, but what was the story with that? They just basically built a couple buildings up there for like, was it like in science or anything like that? Just some specific subject?
Is there research? Isn't that always how they
start? Well, they saw demand. You know, they said there's a lot of, North County's growing pretty fast. San Marcos is growing very fast.
Driving on the 15 is horrible.
There you go. And let's, you know, see if we can educate some kids up there or some students up there. And they could. And they had enough of them to do a new university. And likewise, you know, there are some places where that's not going to happen. SDSU has a satellite campus in the Imperial Valley. It's got a couple hundred students. That isn't going to, I don't think, be a new university anytime soon. Mm-hmm. They also weirdly have a kind of satellite campus in the country of Georgia.
In the Balkans?
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite odd. But it is an interesting question. Like, does the South Bay, could they use their own Cal State?
Like a CSU South Bay or something like that.
And one of the things that's happened in California higher ed is a couple of years ago, well, I think about a decade or more ago, they were talking about, you know, how do we absorb all of these students that want college degrees? And one of the legislature in their infinite wisdom solution was, let's start a new UC in Merced, which was a sort of giveaway to the Central Valley. So the state has not always done the most logical thing when it comes to, expanding higher education.
Yeah.
Although they're better than most states.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so yeah, do you think either of these will pass?
I've stopped predicting elections.
Oh, good for you.
But your tea leaf reading of Howard Blackson's vote no on both was very interesting. I don't know, though, that's...
I don't know that everyone will truly vote no on both. I think there is a lot, and particularly in that room, in that debate, at the kind of the peak of I guess the heat, there's just a lot of frustration, you know, when these both sides are going back and forth and effectively saying we're going to build the same thing. It's just we want to build it versus no, we want to build it. You know, if you look at these two plans, stadium, housing, hotels, park, there's a lot of difference in like the funding mechanisms and, like you said, some of those feel good things with regards to the park and the pond or, you know, the MLS team. And yeah, different, I guess, constituents want different things. But ultimately, take a big step back. We're talking about who is going to develop this parcel into this thing that we've all sort of generally agreed is what we're going to do. You know, because if you start to look at some of the, even the comments made by SDSU people about when do we need this expansion, and you start looking at, okay, when can they actually admit more students and the rate that they're admitting new students, talking about 30, 40 years from now, it's not urgent. Mm-hmm. You know, this landlocked expansion, it's not academically driven, in my opinion.
I have another question as far as like what universities and cities have done before. Has a city ever taken a piece of land like the Qualcomm and said, we're developing, the city's developing their idea for it and we want buy-in from everybody? Because it seems like if a city had the plan, they could get Soccer City and SDSU and the hoteliers and everybody into one idea. I'm just curious, has that ever happened?
I think, isn't that what happened with Jack Murphy Stadium, essentially?
Like, I don't know. I don't know the history of that. I just don't know if there's any other example of like the city itself,
like foresight,
the mayor,
vision, and leadership in this town.
I don't know. No, I'm definitely not in this town, but I'm asking: does anyone know of that happening before?
Well, during the Chargers fun time that we all had, like the CSAG plan came out, and did that include a river park? I can't remember.
I can't either.
But that was
on my desk.
That
if you
was
want
like,
me to get it.
That was we should do a live reading of that. Actually,
we should.
No, but that was like that was the mayor's first plan that he backed, right? And he wanted, that was the whole idea, to keep the Chargers in Mission Valley. I mean, that would have probably been closest to what you were talking about. But yeah, I should know the history of Jack Murphy Stadium. But that is they came together and built it as a city. So
yeah. It's interesting that we're here with we were talking before the podcast about the political ads and all the infighting, and it just seems so.
It's going to get worse.
Futile, yeah.
But yeah, 2 years from now, if they both fail in 2 years, you know, SDSU is covered because they have the lease for two more seasons of football.
Correct.
I mean, do you think we're just going to be back here and?
I hope not. I mean,
to development. Do you think FS investors might just go somewhere else, like Chula Vista?
It's funny. I actually asked Nick that question yesterday. I talked to him briefly, and I said, you know, if somehow this thing goes the wrong way, you know, what next for you guys? And he effectively said, look, a big part of this whole plan is Mission Valley and the linchpin that soccer is. You know, MLS does have, you know, their expansion timelines, and, you know, I've been covering that league for a long time. And so there's no way that the expansion window that they are sort of in pole position to land this franchise, that's not going to still be open in 2 years. And it seems to me as though that sort of kills off the synergy that they see in Mission Valley being the central hub and having all these different developments. I mean, it is a fairly large investment group, and they have, I think there are different investors who are more passionate about soccer than others. So maybe, in theory, someone might split off and do their own thing, maybe not at the MLS level, but at like a second or third division level. That's possible, but it's really hard to say.
So it really is the land, that spot.
I think that the land and the team, and I think just the synergy that you get from adding all these different components and having what they call this legacy project, you know, and even the Charter Training Ground in Murphy Canyon that enables them to have their residential sort of academy that helps them bring in these foreign teams that can come in and train and, you know, bring in those tourism dollars, because when Manchester United comes and stays in San Diego right here, you know, people will come out of the woodwork. Same thing if Club America or any of these teams from across the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, is this just a big, are we looking at it as San Diego State is just waiting possibly? Like they could just, if they'll be around in 2 years, they can put together something else and won't be that different than what we're seeing now.
Yeah, my reading on I mean, I'm not as cynical as some people, but like I've become more cynical in this whole thing. And my reading of the entire Measure G SDSU West thing is it's literally just there as an obstacle for the Soccer City thing. I think if this wasn't on the belt and you didn't have such a divisive thing that was effectively the same thing, Soccer City would be running away with this right now. And so that's
almost like, I haven't heard this take before, so like it's almost just a chess move to block this,
exactly.
They're really ready to do it and have the money lined up.
Exactly. They don't. And that, I mean, the fact that you said like they're still doing the math on a stadium, what, 3-4 weeks before the election, where they would theoretically be legally bound to build a stadium, and you don't have those numbers, like that's not what this is about. You know, it's not about even the football thing. Or it's, I just think that this is here to kill time, to kill Soccer City, and then live on, you know, afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really astute and widely, I think, shared among people who have been paying some attention to this is SDSU wins regardless, as long as Soccer City loses. They either, you know, have this kind of option on the land, which is essentially what SDSU West's ballot measure gives them, or nobody has an option on the land, but they're a state agency and you know, they can wait. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny, SDSU actually wins even if Soccer City does win, because allegedly, you know, this Soccer City plan was built with SDSU in mind and they're guaranteeing them the 35 acres that they say they need. So in theory, there's no scenario by which I see SDSU losing.
I think they want to control their own destiny though. And I think if Soccer City gets the land, that does not happen for them in the same way.
Certainly not in the same way. I agree there.
I mean, and there are even people, I think, on the SDSU side who actually think SDSU West isn't the best way to do this, that a win that puts the university in a position where they have to pay for the land is a bad deal for the university. Some people say, hey, look, this is a university. Don't make them pay money for this land. Just give it to them. If the city had leadership and vision, the city would just say, we think a best use of at least some of this land is a university, and we'll give you the land. And so there are even university supporters who say it's dumb for the university to pay for it.
I mean, if it did pass on November 6th, they would start to have to answer questions about how they're funding it. I mean, would that eventually, do you think it would go on the students in like a later on down the line? Would it kick it down? Would it, something like this kick down the line to students that aren't there right now? Is that how it?
That's one of the questions we tried to answer. And SDSU says, we are making a commitment now that it won't. I don't know realistically how they can make that forever, ever. They do point out that Cal State is a big system, and so even $550 million is not that big a deal for a system that has nearly a 500,000 students. They also point out that they have generous donors, that they would have partners who would be, you know, they have a deal right now where they've given a company the right to build on their land on the main campus, and that company provides student housing but also pays something back to the university. So there is a compelling case that the university makes that they can not put this on the backs of students or put it on the back of students in any significant way, although they promise nothing. And I think that's fair. There are also things that happen unexpectedly with the economy that I don't know how you can promise that far in the future anything.
Do you have any of the other questions, Dan?
Well, you just brought up something. Do you know if that company that they have that housing arrangement with, is that called Pierce Education Properties?
No, I think this is Capstone.
Okay.
Capstone is a, I think they're based in the South. I think they're in Alabama. And they build a lot of, they're called public-private partnerships. And they make these deals where they, essentially they've built a dorm for SDSU. And the guarantee that SDSU has made is we're going to make students live in your dorm. So you're going to get your, you're going to get some return. And then you give us some money for having this deal with you.
Gotcha.
And then the university gets money from that. And the students get, you know, a presumably nice place
nice
to live,
place. Yeah.
Which, you know, at probably a pretty good price.
Yeah.
So I'll allow you to take your reporter hat off and just eliminate SDSU and Soccer City. What would Rye River do with the river park?
Yeah, because here's what I'm at.
What is your river? What is your ideal river park?
I want to know too.
please start with Lazy River because I'd love that. No.
I mean, there are certain things that you simply can't do with the river. You can't really get close to it for some reasons, like there's bacteria in it that you don't really want to deal with.
Yep.
And then for regulatory reasons, there's some birds in there that are endangered, and so you're not allowed to really be in the river channel, or at least doing construction and certain kinds of other activity in the river channel. So the river park is a park that is adjacent to the river, and there are a number of groups all the way from, you know, Julian to Ocean Beach that have been thinking about how do we make this river that runs through the heart of, you know, where through San Diego and its suburbs, more picturesque and tolerable. And I don't know that when I would come to San Diego, I would ever expect to see a big river. I think I'd just go straight to the ocean if it were me.
Yeah.
or out to Julian, where it's just the air is nice and crisp. So I don't know what I would do.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of indifferent on this again, but if they don't pass, I say we go full bore on the river park. Like, just let the parking lot sit there and let's put a river park next to the river. At least we can get that done, right?
No.
$70 million? No. Come on, the city would give us?
Who pays for it? Who pays for it?
Oh, we could go do a GoFundMe for that?
No.
Milkweed, butterflies, we can make it happen.
I love your optimism. I truly do.
Totally.
Bake sales? Yeah.
We can make it happen. Lemonade stands.
A pond, for sure.
A pond.
Yes. I'm so
TKF
pro-pond.
United is pro-pond.
We are.
Although, you have to think about mosquitoes. If the water stagnates, there's mosquitoes. And then
I'm
you
out
have,
on ponds.
You have Zika, so you're basically responsible.
What if
for...
we just got big fans and blew the mosquitoes down the river, like to the ocean?
Well, I see all these other communities that have these, like, drinking inner tube parties, and I'm like, why don't we have that?
Yeah, well, have you guys ever been up on Mount Helix? No. Did you know there's a lake on Mount Helix?
Really?
Yeah, and there's like houses on the lake, and
what?
You can have your little paddle boat into the... Yeah, I have a friend out in East County. He has a lake on his property. It's great. He stocks it with fish.
Hmm.
I'm a big lake or pond, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
So you just want a central pond in Mission Valley.
We need it.
I think it would be cool. Like, I think it would be cool if we were known not only as the surf capital, but like the wakeboard capital of the world. Like, you come to San Diego, and it's all the exports.
I'm into
Why
it.
Why not?
Anything's possible.
And then we could have a floating soccer stadium. It'd be amazing.
Whoa, that's next level. That's
out
like,
on the out on the bay.
That's like
where that would
Qatar
go.
World Cup.
Do you remember the? Do you remember the? And I remember as a kid reading the Union Tribune, and they were talking about like a floating airport. Do you remember this?
Wasn't there a floating Charger Stadium? Was
there's
that...
also a floating Charger Stadium? Like we have this bay. We have all this. Why are we worried about land, man? We got the water. I don't know. We have such an opportunity in San Diego to make rad stuff, and we don't do anything.
Yeah. So instead of Soccer City, Soccer World, a combination of Water World and Soccer City.
Soccer Barge. Soccer Barge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you imagine like the barge? You're right. No, that's bad alcohol in water sports. Never mind. Somehow, bad idea.
I'm tempted to build Atlantis at this point. I'm a visionary, man. Yeah, I'm like, why not? Underwater.
Let me look what they're doing in, you know, Dubai or whatever. They're making some fun stuff, and San Diego has the land, that kind of weather, and we twiddle our thumbs. Mm-hmm.
So I have one last thing to ask you about. Alex Spanos died this week, and he's kind of a player in the Mission Valley site. His son took the Chargers to L.A. You wrote a piece a couple years ago when Measure C was going on about how he gained his fortune. I mean, what did you learn about him in that process?
So I want to be respectful. We talked about that. I mean, he is a true rags to riches story. But one of the questions that we wrote about is he made a significant amount of all of his early money, really, selling sandwiches and providing basically food service to farm workers in the Central Valley and across California, actually. And some of these farm workers were exploited, and there have been reports, none of them that talked particularly about his operation, but that talked about exploitation of the farm workers, particularly when it came to selling them food. Vendors similar to potentially the ones that he ran would charge a lot for food that was low quality and was something that the laborers' stomachs were just not, tolerating, like bologna sandwiches, for instance, where, Mexicans, by and large, in that era were not growing up on bologna. And so, they're out there working, and this food just did not literally sit well, nor was it fully nutritious. And so we wrote about the potential that some of his money, his early money, came from that. There's a lot more to Alex Spanos than that, as everybody knows. He was a big Republican donor. After he passed the other day, you saw a lot of condolences from former President Bush, former Governor Pete Wilson, George W. Bush, by the way, Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the U.S. House. He was really important, I think, in the Greek community, not just locally, but internationally. He did some kind of back and forth between the various Greek governments during the Reagan and Bush administration, Bush 1 administration. So that was something we wrote about a couple of years ago, and I do keep it. That was something I thought about when I saw he passed. But there's a lot more to him than that.
Complicated guy. There's a lot to that story. If you want to, we'll put the link to that story and the other pieces that we've talked about on this episode in the show notes for the episode. But thanks for coming on, Rye. It was
thanks
great
for having
to have
me.
You. Yeah, you've helped us get in the building a couple times, and just because coming down here and everything. But thanks a lot. And
I want more river. I kind of want to start a river.
Yeah, you should start. Why don't
now?
You start an environmental podcast? Just like a
rivers.
Yeah,
I'd be a guest if you invited me.
Okay, cool. We can talk. We can talk river. We can talk pond. We can talk mosquito.
We can talk what is natural, what is not natural in San Diego.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
There are a group of people there. I think they're called like Chaparralians, and they are like very big fans of Chaparral.
Do they want to return San Diego to its natural state?
Well,
I'm waiting for that to happen, and I'm kind of excited about it. I dig it, but.
Well, when the water runs out, we're all going to flee.
It's going to inevitability.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything to plug, DK, or you just did a podcast with, what's his name, Sean? I forgot his last name.
Sean.
Is it Sean? No, sorry. You just published a podcast.
With Nick. I was with Nick Stone yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, Sean. No, Sean Elo.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's
I was like, oh my goodness, I'm having one of those days. Yeah, no, so basically between now and the end of the election, what I'm trying to do with my little podcast, the Chronicles of San Diego podcast, is pay very close attention to a couple different individual races and then also the ballot measure races. So I would just plug the San Diego Chronicle. There's a podcast about it, and check us out. We'll be putting out new things all the time.
Great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week, and be sure to vote on November 6th. Let's do it. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I think registration to vote in California, you've got just under 2 weeks if you're somehow not registered to vote.
Yeah.
Just under 2 weeks, so go do that and be a better person.
Go River Park.
All right. Propon. Bye.
Propon Podcast.
TKF United.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego podcast network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's E-R-I-N at VOSD.org.